I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. And you guessed it, by that pause, I am flying solo again. Still perhaps a couple weeks away from having Marissa join me to help you and me both survive these podcasts. I did have the privilege of speaking with Marissa last week, and she and her beautiful two little girls and her husband are doing well. And again, hopefully it's a week or two away before we can have Marissa back on The Next Page with me. Today's podcast, if I was going to give it a title, is entitled, I Was in the Room. And I know that sounds like a bit of a strange title for a podcast, but some years ago, as I was going through my certification with the John Maxwell team, it might have been John who frequently would say, you know, were you in the room when? Or were you in the room? And large groups of people that had been farther on the journey than I had would, with excitement, exuberance, say, yes, I was in the room. And I kind of wondered what that meant. What did it really mean to be in the room? Well, folks, last week I had the opportunity to discover that. I had traveled to Florida to attend 3 days of training put on or organized by the John Maxwell team. The first 2 days of my training was going to be with a trainer that is an employee of the John Maxwell company, and the training was going to be on the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. Now, I know those laws. For over 3 years, I have taught those laws. I have led masterminds on those laws. But something happened when I was there. You see, I was in the room. And Rick Vandermeiden, who was the trainer, took me to a completely different level on those laws. And let me explain. He started out by making a statement that went something like, you can't bolt these laws on. You have to live them. You have to own them. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But as he went beyond that, all of a sudden I realized that there were very, very profound things, details in those laws that I didn't know. Things that I wasn't clear about. Things that just didn't make a lot of... They made sense, but I wasn't getting to the depth of what it really meant. And so I'm going to dive into a few of these with you. And then also on Friday of the week, I had the privilege of being invited to attend a filming of John Maxwell's presentation on leadership. And that was, if you happen to be at Live to Lead, with me or with one of our other team members throughout the world, actually, you would have heard John do a couple teachings on different chapters in his new book coming out next February called Leadership. But John was filming what would be a digital content that will be able to be delivered in the future. And I was, those of us that were in the room, so to speak, on Wednesday and Thursday, were also invited. There were probably 200 of us total in the room for Leadership. And we also got to hear from a couple of other speakers, one being Rachel Hollis, who is a young woman, a wife, a mom, a successful businesswoman who's written several books. The latest book, I believe, is Girl, Wash Your Face. And so I'll share a couple thoughts that Rachel had as well, because it was great to be in the room for that. But I want to go back now to my experience with Rick. And there were 38 of us that were in this room for 2 days. 36 of us were John Maxwell team coaches and trainers, and two were some educators from, I believe, a school in South Florida. But the first thing that hit me was when we were talking about the law of addition. And one of the questions that we were asked was, what do the people closest to you value the most? What do the people closest to you value the most? And as I thought about that, I thought about three colleagues that I work with at MACNY. And I couldn't answer the question completely. And there were other questions that we were supposed to ask ourselves about, you know, what is it that that what is it that the people that are closest to us value the most? What are their hopes, their dreams, their fears, those type of things? And I didn't have an answer. I had some general answers, but no specific answers. I thought I did, but I realized I didn't. And it hit me like a ton of bricks that to live the laws, to own the laws, you have to go to that level. And I tell people all the time, you need to add value to other people. Well, if I don't know what their hopes, their dreams, their fears, their beliefs, and things like that are, how can I add value to them? And this was when I realized that, wow, there were a lot of things that I thought I knew, but I didn't know in a depth that I needed to know. And the reason that I didn't know it at that level was I had never been in the room. I was never in a room with people that were much farther down that journey than I am. You see, when I lead a 21 Laws discussion, I'm considered the one that's there to supplement it with some teachings. But being able to sit in the room with somebody like Rick, wow. Now that was an experience that was amazing. It was so amazing. In my blog post that came out this morning, I said, you know, when I left that first day, I said to Rick and to my colleagues around the table that I was sitting with, this was one of the most impactful trainings I had ever experienced. And I was so excited that when I got back to the room, I called my wife. So every day I would give her new learnings and things that I had experienced. And I thought, well, okay, I get it out of my system. Well, Sunday night, family night dinner, I got home at about midnight Saturday night. Sunday night at dinner, family dinner, what am I talking about? My event that I had gone to. Then Monday morning at a staff meeting back at work, they almost couldn't shut me up. I was so excited about the things that I had discovered when I was in the room. So let me share with you just a few more of the takeaways that I had. This one was really something, and when we chewed on this statement for a while, it really began to speak to me. Every leadership problem I face has my DNA all over it. Wow. Seems to me, though, is that I always blame all the other people. It's always their fault. It's not my fault. No, if it's a leadership problem, if it's a problem in my organization, it has my DNA all over it if I'm the leader. This was another great one that one of my colleagues came up with, and they were actually joking. They said they need to have a t-shirt made. It's transformation or transportation. And so let me unpack that one for you. As leaders, we really need to become transformational leaders. We need to become those people that add value to others and help take others and our organization to a place that they couldn't be at without us. That's the transforming piece of our leadership. But sometimes you get people that just don't want to be transformed. They're just kind of stuck, and they're okay being stuck. And one of my colleagues said, well, you have to look at it this way. It's either transformation or transportation. They either transform, or we may have to transport them to somewhere else. Because really, we need to have people around us that are willing to go to the levels that we need to take our organizations. And in some cases, some people just aren't willing to do it, and that's okay. We can't force people to make a change they don't want to make. But what we have to do in that situation is coach them, help them find a place that fits them best. It's their choice, not ours. The next one, this one really was great too. The definition of humility. Listening to learn something new rather than listening to confirm what I already know. Wow. Let me say that again. The definition of humility. Listening to learn something new rather than listening to confirm what I already know. You know, when we become too full of ourselves, we start listening for things that will confirm a conclusion that we've already made rather than listening for contrary evidence. And that is really dangerous as a leader. If we want to lead well, we have to be able to sit and listen for things that we don't know rather than trying to confirm what we do. Somebody else made this statement. Leaders are learners. They're in the room. So if you're a leader out there, you're an aspiring leader, and really all of us should be, all of us have someone that we can lead, especially first of all, and probably the toughest person we're ever going to lead is ourselves. The question I have to ask you is, are you making time to be in the room? I was busy. I didn't have time to go to South Florida for 3 days, but I did. I needed to. And one of the things that I realized is when I scheduled the time to go, and I was encouraged by our staff at MacNe to go, but one of the things I realized when I got there within the first hour was how much I needed to be there. I can't add value to others. I can't add value to you folks unless I'm continually striving to be in the room and ever learning. How about this one? Transformation is not a destination. It's a journey. Are we really embarking on this lifelong path of transforming ourselves every day to perhaps a newer, a fuller way of understanding, a fuller understanding of leadership? Sorry, had to take a drink there because the voice is going. Here was another one. And this one is it's a powerful statement. It was a powerful learning for me. But it almost is a little bit like a mirror. So let me just read it to you. You can't develop a person who is self-absorbed. So think about that for a minute. You know, you can't develop a person who's self-absorbed. So right away, I thought about people that I've tried to develop, people that I've tried to coach, people that I've tried to train. And if they're so full of themselves, there's no room for you to add anything to them. They think they got it. They think they've arrived. And then all of a sudden, I had to say, whoa, wait a minute, teacher. Are you so self-absorbed that you can't learn or that you aren't willing to learn? So that one was like, wow, that was a huge one for me. How about this one? If you don't value your team, you won't sacrifice for them. So as a leader, do I value my people? Do I value my organization? Am I willing to sacrifice for them? And if the answer to the question, am I willing to sacrifice for them, is no, I don't value them. And you can't convince, if someone says to me, well, I do value them, it's just, you know, I'm just not really willing to sacrifice right now, then you don't value them. And we all know that people really need to be valued. They need to feel valued. On Friday, Trenton Shelton, who I believe was a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, I could be wrong on that, but he made this, he asked us this question. What would your life say if for 24 hours you couldn't talk? So think about that. You're a leader. You're leading a team. You're leading people. You're leading a family. You're leading a Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever. Maybe you're on a school board. I hope you are. If you couldn't speak for 24 hours, what would your life be saying? That's living the laws. That's owning the laws. That's not bolting on the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. That's owning it and living it. This was another one that I jotted down. Respect is earned on difficult ground. You know, our teams are looking for somebody to be the calm in the storm. They're looking for somebody that has courage but is not irrational in the face of danger. Our teams are looking for somebody that defines reality, but they begin to respect us on difficult ground. Difficult ground having the difficult conversations with the people that we need to have them with. Being able to take the short end of the stick and really suffering, so to speak, or sacrificing for our team. Another great one that here, there is a big difference between what we don't do and what we can't do. So if we look back on this year that's quickly winding to a close, you know, this is Thanksgiving week, and as you know, this to me is the most wonderful time of the year. But if we look back on our year, are there goals that we didn't accomplish? Are there things that we didn't do? And so if we look back, was it that we couldn't? Or we just didn't. Could it be perhaps that we lack the self-discipline to really accomplish the goals that we needed to? And so with that, I want to transition to some teachings from Rachel Hollis. So Rachel was a magnificent young woman that got up on the stage with John Maxwell, and she did a little bit of a keynote, about a 30-minute keynote, and then she was interviewed by John. And so to give you a little bit of background about Rachel, she's built a successful business at 35 years old. She's got this successful business and 4 children and a husband, and she has a high school diploma. That's it. And she is one of those people that truly realized that she didn't like the life that she was given, so to speak, or born into. And she committed to changing it. So she said that, she came from a broken family, a very, very poor family financially. But she decided that she was going to be disciplined and she was going to do something about it. And so she said, per one of her quotes, personal development is the magic pill. It's the magic pill that takes you to a whole different level of opportunity. Are you willing to be truly disciplined to accomplish things? She made this other statement. She said, in an age of this much free information, your ignorance is a choice. Let me say that again. In an age of this much free information, your ignorance is a choice. Wow. She said she learned how to do all these things by doing Google searches, building a successful business, having a successful, strong marriage, raising her children well. All of those things. She said she could find so much, so many mentors. She referred to John Maxwell as being a mentor that until that day she had never met because she was disciplined. And I loved that. Your ignorance is a choice. And if people, one of the things is we all know that knowledge and competence build self-confidence. So if we're unsure of ourselves in certain areas and we stay there, it's our own choice. Another great one that she touched on, and I'll use this kind of in closing, she talked about playing bocce ball. And she said, she doesn't know how many balls there are when you play bocce ball, and I don't either. But she said she knows that you roll them out into the court or sandpit, whatever it is. And she said, for so much of her life, she kept trying to roll all 4 balls down the court. She said, pick one. When she picked one focus area for 90 days, she was able to move the ball forward. So as you're starting to look at closing out the year now with maybe 6 weeks, or how are you going to start the new year? Don't give yourself a myriad of goals and things that you're going to try to struggle with. Pick one. Focus on it for 90 days and see what happens. Being in the room was amazing for me. It was an experience that I will remember forever. And I'm looking for more opportunities to, when can I be in the room again? So I challenge all of you, my listeners out there, our listeners out there, Marissa and my listeners out there. Are you going to be in the room? Are you going to take time to invest in yourself? Are you going to find the trainings that are out there? Find the mentoring opportunities that are out there? I know you're busy. I'm busy. None of us have the time that we want, but we do have the time for the things that we value. You need to value being in the room. Next Tuesday, I'm going to do a teaching on the 15 invaluable laws of growth. Now, those are laws that really, I can tell you, I didn't bolt on, that I've really applied them to my life. And I even said at Live to Lead this year that was the one book, other than the Bible, that was a book that really changed my life. So if you want to be in the room, go to macne.org, go to our calendar. Next Tuesday, we're going to have that teaching. Or send me an email. My contact information's in the show notes here. I dare you. Take some time and get in the room. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving with you and your family. I hope it's a blessed time for you to reflect on the wonders that we have in this country, the blessings and just the tremendous, tremendous opportunities that are just out there for those that are willing to work a little bit at it. So with that, again, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Dave Freund, and this was The Next Page.